Hello there, internet guys, gals, and everything in between. Welcome back to My Consumerist Week. I'm Tyler Mitchell, and sitting to my immediate left, as always, is my good friend Tyler Berry.
How do I do this again? How do I talk into a microphone? I haven't done it in like a year, so.
Yeah, we're sorry that we skipped a week or two.
Or 52.
But hot diggity dog, we're back now. For those of you who are just joining us and or rejoining us, this podcast is a casual reflection of our pop culture consumption over the past 7 days or so. Usually.
Yeah, not this week.
This week's a little different. We are going to just talk about the last 6 months?
Sure.
The first half of 2018.
There might be something from 2017 that floats in there, mostly because we forgot that it came out in 2017, but whatever.
These are the things that we remember either most fondly or least fondly.
Can we start with something least fondly?
Sure, jump right in. Let's do it.
Gabby, did you have more you wanted to? Did you have more you wanted to say? I kind of thought that was it. But.
As always, there are spoilers.
Oh, right.
So
I forgot about that part.
If you hear the title of something that you want to consume, but have not yet consumed it, you have been warned.
It'll be in the liner notes, the, like, spoilery stuff. That's what I did last year, and I will continue to do so.
Cool. All right, you feel so vehemently about something, we need to start with it right off the bat, so let's jump right in.
Well, this, I feel strongly about it because I was reminded via a tweet from the middleest brother, Travis McElroy, today.
Ooh,
from
Far Cry.
Yes, yeah. So he finished Far Cry 5, and that ending, woo! Can we talk about that game for a while? Because that game was for, what, 25 hours? Probably one of the most enjoyable gaming experiences I had, mostly because it was so stupid and dumb, and we got to play it co-op every night online, and it was just an enjoyable time, and there were many laughs to be had throughout the entire situation. And then you got to the last 15 minutes of that game, and, well, it kind of just ruined everything.
Gave you a big old sack punch?
Yeah, sure. I wouldn't have used those exact words, but yeah, it was kind of a punch in the... I was going to say punch in the gut, but sure, punch in the sack works too. I mean, if you're not familiar with that game and not planning on playing it, how would you best describe it? I mean, if you've ever played a Far Cry game, it's like an action-adventure exploration, like, with RPG elements.
For those of you who are not gamers out there, Far Cry 5 is a video game that is a first-person shooter, so it's in the first-person perspective. It takes place in Montana, where a cult has sort of taken over a dictatorial rule of the area. And you are a sheriff who becomes trapped in that area, and you're working alongside a bunch of NPCs, non-player characters, to stop them.
And to save your friends along the way, who have all been taken by this family called the Seeds,
yes.
Who have run this cult in rural Montana. Basically,
it's just a big dumb game.
It's a big dumb game, but the story... Like, the basis of the story is that this family has built this cult with the what they think is an understanding that the world is soon going to come to an end and culminate in some kind of nuclear catastrophe, because all signs of our society have pointed that way, according to them. And for a while in that game, you get the sense that like the developers of Ubisoft were really trying to say something about the current state of America with this story, but it was just so silly and dumb and bizarre that it never really landed, like, at all. Even the more, like, narrative-driven bits of that game, like, via cutscenes with, like, each of the members of the Seed family that you come across, like, it's just not... Nothing really lands, but luckily the gameplay is so good that it still kept us going all the way to the end. Because you and I both said, we were like, well, we want to finish this game to see what the ending actually is. Because one thing I will say is it's not what I expected. Like, it certainly left me guessing the entire time. It took us to a point where as soon as we were done with the ending, we were like, well, I'll talk to you tomorrow because I don't want to do this anymore. There's nothing left for me in this game. Basically, you defeat the entire Seed family, including the leader, John, and rescue all of your friends. And none of it matters because, lo and behold, somehow John did predict the nuclear apocalypse, and then it happens.
Yep.
All your friends die, and you end up trapped in a bunker with John, and he's now your master, apparently. And that's
well, there
it.
Yeah, there. It's crazy. Depending on either two of the endings.
Yeah, but neither of which are real, because...
Right. It's just, you know, it's a hallucination. It's...
Yeah. There are a couple different endings you can get, but if you get those endings, it doesn't actually save in your save file, so the next time you load up the game, it just takes you right back to the confrontation with John. So it's like, they're not... It really essentially forces you to get this complete ending if you want to actually continue playing on your save file.
So, basically... It feels like the writer, Dan Hay, reading on what his inspirations for the story were, he took a lot of inspiration from his childhood. When he was young, he was very afraid of the Cold War. Then when he got older into his late 20s, September 11 happened, the subprime mortgage crisis, people started hating the government, all this stuff. He started writing the story in 2014. Then when the wildlife refuge occupation in Oregon happened in February of 2016, he took inspiration from that as well. He wanted this to be a dark game with a memorable story. That you can tell some of the cutscenes are beautifully done with the characters giving you monologues that are memorable and have pretty good writing and very good voice acting. The problem is the gameplay team wanted the game to be a Far Cry game. And Far Cry games are dumb and fun and open-worldy and goofy and all kinds of other things. So there's this huge dichotomy of, we want this game to be fun and entertaining to play and just a pick-up-and-play, shootery type of game. But we also want it to be dark. And you could tell from the first E3 trailer that they were going... You could tell what they were going for, at least what Dan Hay was going for.
It's like... It's almost like that story needed someone like fucking Ken Levine to be involved on the gameplay side if, like, that's the story you really want to tell. Like, that would work in more of, like, a Bioshock-y type of environment. But it just doesn't... It just doesn't really work with how ridiculous Far Cry's gameplay is. Ridiculously fun, but... just it's very absurdist. Like, you can have companions who are a giant grizzly bear, a mountain lion, and what's the third one?
The dog.
The dog.
I mean, there's other crate, like the clutch Nixon stuff, which is like
which
my
is
favorite
hysterical.
My favorite stuff in the game, basically, where you're basically just playing as a stuntman, this infamous stuntman named Clutch Nixon, and there's this great theme song and all this stuff.
Which I'm gonna include. I'm gonna put a clip in of it right here.
Anyways, that stuff's thrown in there. It's made to be goofy, and it has goofy stuff in it.
And that's the parts that we loved. Like, that's the part that had us, like, cracking up over chat.
But here's the problem. I loved all of the dark stuff, too, up until the end.
It just never landed with me.
I'm not saying that it worked, either. I loved both separate parts of that game. I don't think they mixed at all together, whatsoever. So, like... I had fun with that game. I had a lot of fun playing it with you.
Mm-hmm.
But it just leaves a bad taste in the mouth.
And that's really what it was. Like I mentioned a few minutes ago, it's like we literally finished that game, the credits started rolling, and we were both just like, well, see you tomorrow. Like, we just didn't even really talk about it after that. We were both just kind of – and it was – I think it was late anyway. We both had work the next day, but it was still just like – man, that's just not the way that I wanted to leave this experience. An experience that was very, very fun for the most part. But, yeah, I just wanted to get that out of the way. Just because, like, I've been thinking about that game periodically, and I'm like, I kind of want to check back in, but no, it just... There's other stuff that I'd rather check back in with.
I really think that Ben Kuchera of Polygon described the game best by calling it a defiantly inoffensive mess, which wants to appeal to everyone, but ultimately says nothing. Basically.
Yeah. That's a pretty good summation of that game really is.
Before we stop talking about it, I do want to bring up my favorite thing about the Far Cry 5 story.
Go for it.
During its development, following its announcement, there was an online petition lodged at change.org by people objecting to the portrayal of white American Christians as villains.
I forgot all about this.
And they wanted the antagonists to be recast, suggesting such things as followers of Islam, inner-city gang members, other non-white antagonists as possible replacements.
Goodness, I wonder why they wanted those.
They wanted to change the setting from Montana to somewhere in Canada. Because man. Why? I don't know.
Because rural white Americans hate black people, the Nation of Islam, and Canada.
Not all of them.
Many of them. Sorry, not all of them. That's a generalization. But they were generalizing too by...
I think it's hilarious.
They were the ones generalizing by literally bringing up the... And, like, the weird thing with Canada, it's like, why would they want it in Canada? Because they don't like Canada because it's not America?
No, they just don't want America to look like this could be something that could happen in America, basically.
Yeah, well.
Whatever. Enough Far Cry. Let's talk about more video games.
Okay.
Played a lot this year, in the first 6 months of this year. Some of the best ones. Let me see what I got here. Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Yeah.
A very fun XCOM turn-based strategy game.
Man, I leave those games to you. I cannot get focused enough to really, really work at those games.
I think you'd like that one. At least
I watched you played it. It looks awesome.
You would like it at least through the first three or four worlds. Because
yeah, then you said it gets like absurdly hard.
It's insane. So I haven't really... I'm on the last world and I'm struggling to finish it. But I haven't played it in months, so... I have played either four or five Kingdom Hearts games, depending on how you categorize the word play.
Yeah.
So I have all of the final remixes for the PS4, so I've played through 1 and 2, and...
I'm doing
Chain
that.
Of Memories.
I'm
Dream
doing
Thunder.
That, too.
I'm trying to get ready for Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know Kingdom Hearts, it's the Square Enix Disney game that has all the Disney worlds, and you travel from world to world, and it's just a big... It's kind of like...
You want to talk about a story that's just a freaking mess.
The way I like to categorize it, especially for non-gamers, is if a fan fiction writer decided they wanted to write a video game about Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. That's
yep.
what it is. It's just all the Disney stuff thrown together with some Final Fantasy people.
And it's great and dumb and frustrating and convoluted as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And we love it.
Yep. Golf Story.
Golf Story is my jam, dude.
Golf Story is great.
I adore that game. I think I beat that game in like three sittings. Like it's like an 8 hour game.
It is
game.
A
like,
throwback golf game. If you played any golf
but
games.
But it's a throwback golf game with RPG mechanics, which is awesome. And I love that.
If you grew up, or I guess you could have been grown up during this time. If you played golf games in the 80s and 90s on Nintendo consoles or handhelds, you will like Golf Story.
Yeah.
It plays like those games, but it has an immersive story and, like Tyler said, some RPG elements where you level up your character and whatnot.
And, like, when I first heard about this game and it was pitched that way, I was sold instantly. Like, that game could have gotten that. Like, I didn't even look at reviews of that game before I bought it. Just because I knew I was going to enjoy it. And I did. I loved it. I need to play it again, actually. It's been... Because that was one that came out You must have not played it till this year, but I played
it. Yeah, it came out last year, but I played
it. Yeah, I played it. It came out right around my birthday last year, so I played it in September of last year, and I need to go back and play it because that game is awesome.
Speaking of some more old games that did not come out this year, but I played, Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I just finished another playthrough of that a few weeks ago, too, and then subsequently watched the movie afterwards.
Yeah, I played it again before the movie came out. It's a fun game.
God, that game. I mean, it's just, it's so well made. People liken it to Uncharted, I think, a little bit too unfairly. Like, there are some similarities, obviously, but the shooting is a thousand, like, the gunplay is a thousand times better than it is in Uncharted, in my opinion.
Yes. Like, people compare them to Uncharted. It's more open than Uncharted. Uncharted is a very linear experience.
Yeah, that gets better, and they do a little bit better with that in 4, but it's still not the way that Tomb Raider is.
So I'm looking forward to see how the new Tomb Raider that's coming out this fall is going to be.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider? Yeah, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I don't know. That's what it is.
But it looks good. Other old games I played this year. I played some more Persona 5. I'm not going to delve into that. If you know what Persona is, you know Persona.
It's just a lot. It's just a lot. We played another co-op game we played that technically came out last year, but we didn't start playing it till this year was, well, not technically, it came out in March of last year, but it was Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Yes, Ghost Recon Wildlands, which is...
Take everything we said from Far Cry in terms of, like, how much fun that game was to play in co-op, and eliminate anything we said about there being a story, because it is just...
So here's the thing. The difference between Ghost Recon Wildlands and Far Cry 5.
Both made by developer Ubisoft.
The difference, I would say, is that Far Cry 5 tried to have its cake and eat it too by trying to provide an interesting story. At least attempting. And failing.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost Recon Wildlands decided they're going to try and take the most bland, direct-to-DVD Bruce Willis movie story they could find.
I was thinking like John Cena in those roles before he was getting actually good movie roles. Yes, thank you.
So it has a story. You're a group of guys taking on the drug cartels and stuff.
And that's it.
That's it. I don't know.
There
are twists and stuff, but whatever.
The story's not important at all. No. What's important is how fun and hysterical the gameplay can be. Like, one of the first... I still remember this, because it's a moment of that game when we were playing where I pitch it to other people who haven't played it yet. I'm like, listen, we did this, and it was hysterical, and this is why you need to play the game. It was like the first or second time we were playing the game, and we had to go take out, like, a roving convoy. One of the thousands of convoys we took out while playing that game. And strategy dictates in that game, what little strategy there is like you kind of want to get in front of the convoy and maybe set up like a perimeter with like explosives and things like that to knock them out. Well, instead, what you and I did was fly up in a helicopter. At this point, we didn't know how to parachute out because we hadn't been playing long enough. So you parachuted out while I was still in the passenger seat of the helicopter. And the helicopter goes down with me in it, explodes into the convoy, blows up, I die, but we complete the mission.
Yep.
And we just, like, laughed for, like, 5 minutes straight. And that's how I pitch that game to people. Because if you want to have fun, hilarious moments like that and not worry about any kind of consequences, because there really aren't any, play that game. Because it's so fun. And it's not a solo game. It's a co-op game.
I mean, you could play it solo, but that takes all the fun out of it.
It's only fun to play with friends, as far as I'm concerned.
I know that... There was a lot of chatter from our more liberally oriented games media about how it's offensive that it's about Americans going into Bolivia and that we're the guys that are going to take out drug cartels and blah, blah, blah.
Waypoint did a big piece on that, right? Yeah.
And, like, I understand that sentiment. If anyone's coming to this game expecting a serious story, then you're looking way too far into this.
Yeah.
That's like trying to, if I go into John Wick and I'm like, okay, I really need to see Keanu Reeves and the team of producers and writers and directors tell me a story about a man struggling through the death of his wife and his dog.
It was just... It's just not a game to be taken seriously in any way.
No, there's DLC to Hunt the Predator.
Which we never successfully finished.
We can
but,
try it again.
Well, it's, I think it's gone now. I think it was a limited time event. But it was one of those games, where, and I remember us talking about this, where it was just like, there's so much garbage going on right now that, honestly, it's just nice to have like a game where you can just laugh and like turn off your brain and just have a good time with your friends. And
so,
that's what this game is.
I'm just reading some information that you would like to know.
Okay.
Ubisoft released a 30-minute short film entitled Ghost Recon Wildlands: War Within the Cartel on February 16th, 2017. It's available on Amazon Prime.
Good, good.
It is executive produced by Roberto Orsi and Orlando Jones.
What? Wait, what a combination.
And the main character is one... Tip T.I. Harris.
No!
So,
holy,
we're gonna watch that.
Shit, we're watching that. That's amazing.
I didn't know that was a thing. I know Ubisoft usually releases short films with their games. Like, there's one for Far Cry 5. There's one for Division.
They're usually not, like... I mean, define stars how you will, but they're usually not, like... There's not usually not so many, like, high-caliber names attached to them like
I
that.
I watched the Division one, and it wasn't very good.
Yeah, you
so
told
I'm
me.
I'm assuming this one
oh,
also
it's gonna
isn't
be
good.
Terrible.
But it's got Tip in it, so.
I'm gonna watch it. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, that's a fun game.
Yeah, I mean, that's one that I recommend even to, like... Even if you're just, like, a casual gamer who just wants to play, like, a dumb shooting game. It's exactly what you'll get with this, and it's super worth it, and I think it's really cheap at this point. I mean, I'm pretty sure you and I picked it up for, like, $20.
Yeah, cheap is relative, depending on how
well,
much of the DLC you want.
Fair, yeah.
Because Ubisoft does that thing where they just constantly release DLC for their games,
which
is smart.
Which I don't think we ever actually delved into actual DLC, because the Predator thing was, like, an event they released in
right.
the game, but I don't think we ever actually
No, because after you beat the end, but I didn't get credit for it, we didn't
yeah.
want to do that again.
That was the only
really
dumb thing.
I was
thinking
we should start,
thing.
Like, a New Game Plus type thing and just start from the beginning with everything.
Oh, I'd be so down with that.
Some other old games. Let me get through these quickly. I started Bayonetta. Very fun. Finally started to play some Jade Empire. I've been playing it on my iPhone.
Oh, yeah.
Because BioWare,
you know, I love that game.
That's a good game. SteamWorld Dig 2.
I just bought that today.
It's amazing. It's on a couple of Giant Bomb's top 10 of 2017 lists. And I picked it up on Lark on my Switch, and I absolutely love that game. It's fantastic. I played some of Watch Dogs 2, which I really enjoyed. Didn't finish the story, but it was really fun. There are other open world games that I've been playing since. So,
and that's just, if you're not familiar with that, that's just yet another of Ubisoft's open world franchises.
They do a lot. I did fully complete all of the media and DLC for Final Fantasy XV this year.
Oh, did you finish it? I don't think we ever talked about you finally finishing the game.
I want to like that game so much more than I do.
I've heard a lot of people express that sentiment. I haven't finished it, but...
The gameplay is... For reference, I've never played a Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Played many, many Kingdom Hearts. Played Final Fantasy Tactics, but never a Final Fantasy. So this is my first one. The combat system was great. I even like the characters somehow. They're really anime, but that's fine. The story is incomprehensible to the point where it makes you angry. You don't know what's happening.
And you even did everything in like the order you read online you're supposed
yeah,
to do it, right?
Yeah, I have a list right here. Let me find it. Hold on.
Because it's like what? You're supposed to play like the prologue
the
of the game.
Essential must-watch and list... Media order of there's a oh my gosh there's the anime, there are the audio logs, there's the movie that was released, there's the order to play the DLC in, where to play them in the story, all the, it's just nuts. And like it would help if they just, and someone has actually gone through and done this with the game, I forget, it's on one of the Reddit forums for the game. he has taken all of the cutscenes and some essential battles and intercut all of the media, so it is on a straight timeline from beginning of the Final Fantasy XV story to the end. And it's like 8 hours or something crazy. But it might help make sense of the story, but at the same time, there will be things that happen, and you're just like, okay. Big spoiler here, Luna, who is one of my favorite characters, barely is in the game at all. In the middle of the game, she just dies.
Cool.
Just dies. Straight up.
Good stuff.
And it just happens so fast, and there's no emotional buildup to it. And I was like, there's no way she's, like, actually dead, right? They're not just going to kill off the main romantic interest and driving narrative force of the story halfway through the game for no reason. Yep. Yes, they are. I don't know. Like, I don't regret playing that game because I had a lot of fun with it. It is a well-made game that they obviously needed more time to finish.
Even though they took a lot of time to do it.
Yes. I mean, for those of you who aren't game nerds or don't care about video games at all, this game was announced, oh god, how many years ago at E3? It was Final Fantasy Eight? Versus 13, whenever they announced all those.
Oh, so long ago, I don't remember.
2000 and, oh man, 6.
Oh jeez.
Yep, it began development in 2006. So think about that.
Yeah, they had enough time.
You're telling me 10 years is enough time?
I mean, I'm no game developer, but I've played a lot of good games that have come out in a lot less time of a development cycle.
It's kind of amazing that it came out at all. But
true.
I don't regret playing it. If you're interested in it, maybe give it a shot. It's a little hard to recommend. Older game. Trying to stick away. I played Battlefield 1's campaign.
Cool.
Had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I played a mission of that while I was at your place, and it was pretty cool. And I don't like being in planes for that long of a game, but besides that, it looks beautiful.
I really like having EA Access because I got to play that over a weekend, and I also, that same weekend, played the Titanfall 2 story mode, which was also great. And I got both of those through EA Access.
Mm-hmm.
And played them, and then promptly uninstalled them from my hard drive. They were both amazing experiences. It makes me excited for Titanfall 3, which I'm pretty sure is a thing. I can't remember. I'm looking it up right now. Yes, it was confirmed in November of last year.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So, good. I hope that that actually comes out, because, you know, games can be announced and in development and then get canceled. But that's Titanfall 2. So I bought Titanfall the day it came out. It's the reason I bought an Xbox One over a PS4 when that was a choice I needed to make monetarily. Mm-hmm. Loved Titanfall, bemoaned the lack of a story. Loved the way it played. But I couldn't justify spending another $60 on release day for Titanfall 2, even with the good reviews.
Yeah.
I figured I'll wait because I have EA Access and play it then. I'm kind of regretting that now because I had so much fun playing it. It could have been something that would be fun to play online, too. So I am excited for 3, for whenever that comes out.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. They were trying some different stuff with that IP overseas that ended up not working. Like, they just canceled Titanfall Online, which is supposed to be a China-only release. So I hope that doesn't have any bearing on what they're doing with that IP. Maybe it was just something that just didn't work out the way they wanted it to. Yeah. But, you know, you never know. I don't really know. I know Titanfall 2 didn't sell as well as projected. So it definitely makes me nervous. Probably because of people like me.
And I waited, and I'm kind of regretting it. Titanfall 3, I'm locking it in right now, as the starters would say. I will purchase you the day you come out.
Yeah, as will I. What else you got? I'm trying to think. We played most of the same thing, so I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to cover.
I'm looking through these this list of, before I get into some of the newer releases that came out this year.
Yeah, because that's where the big ones
we played a little bit of Helldivers, we played a little bit of Gauntlet Slayer Edition, we played a little bit of Spelunky. All those games are
Little bit of Spelunky.
Yeah, well, I'm getting to that. But these are all couch co-op games. Spelunky controls like garbage. I've heard nothing but good things about that game.
Trash.
For years. I mean, it's not a new game. It's been out forever. But I've never played it. I've had it installed on my hard drive for years.
I hate the way that game controls.
The game controls terribly. And I know there's a new one coming out. Maybe they'll fix it.
I mean,
maybe people are really into the way it controls.
People love that game. I've watched professionals play that game and just speedrun the hell out of
right.
it. And now that I've played it myself, I'm even more amazed. I'm even more amazed because that game is garbage from a control standpoint.
Another old game I played a little bit of was Assassin's Creed Origins, which I guess isn't that old. It came out last year. It gets me excited for the new Assassin's Creed game that's coming out this year, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Not related to Super Mario Odyssey. Terrible game naming.
Yeah. Well.
But I didn't finish Origins because Assassin's Creed Odyssey comes out in a couple months, and I want to not be burnt out on that franchise
mm-hmm.
every time it comes out.
You played the one before it, too, and then
Syndicate.
And then got frustrated and uninstalled it from your...
Oh, there was one mission that kept screwing me up, and I just got mad, and I was like, well, I have this other Assassin's Creed game to play anyway, so I'm just uninstalling this one. Even though I think Syndicate's story was better than Origins' story.
Syndicate was cool, man. Like, I started playing it, and whatever came out... Like, I started playing it on a bad week, because whatever came out right after that... Oh, what came out was God of War, because I was
That's
playing it in April.
Problem.
Yeah, and once God of War came out, I was just like, I'm done with anything else besides that.
Okay, some more quick hits before we jump into the big releases that we want to talk about this year, besides Far Cry 5. Played some Darkest Dungeon. That's a tough game. I really like the aesthetic. But man, that game is hard.
Mm-hmm.
We both played Battle Chasers Night War.
Love that game.
I am almost to the end. Not sure if I'll pick it back up. The difficulty spike is crazy in that game. But I really enjoy it.
Yeah. I love the way it looks. I love the way it plays. It does just get so hard, almost unfairly hard. Like... It's definitely an RPG where you're going
to
have to
grind.
And grinding's not that easy in that game because once you get to a certain point and encounter certain enemies and stuff like that, they're just such at a lower level compared to you that you don't get enough XP to really warrant the fight anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a perfectly balanced game, but it's very good.
Yes. Some more couch co-op games we played. We played Broforce, which was really fun.
God, Broforce is just... That's just another, like, hilarious, fun time. And it's a game... It's like an 8-bit side-scrolling, so, like, shooter platformer that utilizes all characters from, like, 80s...
And 90s... Action films.
So, like...
Classic action films.
Bruce Willis from Die Hard is in there. Every Arnold Schwarzenegger character you could think of.
Even Blade...
Yeah, Bladen's in there, which is
Neo
great.
From The Matrix.
Yep.
Just all those classic...
It's really
think
fun.
Think of a classic action movie character, there's a goofy version of them in Broforce.
And that game gets really tough, too, after a while.
Yes.
But it's super fun. I recommend anyone looking for a couch co-op game
it's
to play that.
It's super cheap. It's
usually on
sale.
It's always on sale.
We played recently Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time.
That was fun.
4-player co-op.
I think that's the only way I would want to play that game.
Yes,
after
it would be
playing
too stressful
it.
With less than 4 people.
And it, which was really funny, because you said you initially bought it so you could play it with Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, and as we were playing it, I'm like, he's going to yell at her, and she's going to not want to do this 5 minutes into the game.
I did not yell at her once when we were playing Snipper Clips. So...
The lie detector test determined that was a lie.
No, it's true.
Played something recently, and she was telling me that you yelled at her. And I don't remember what it was.
I couldn't imagine what it would be.
Maybe this was like last year.
It was probably last year when we were playing something. But Snipper Clips.
That game's cool. I love that game.
Hopefully we play more of that. One more. Well, let's get into these co-op things that came out this year. Except PUBG did not come out this year. Which we played for a while.
Oh yeah, it didn't come out this year because I got it for you for Christmas.
The Xbox One version came out last year.
In like November.
PUBG's fun.
It's cool. It's part of this whole... I mean, I feel like we should talk about...
The Battle Royale.
Yeah, because
the kids are playing.
It popped up like seemingly overnight. I mean, it's been a year since we...
Over a fortnight.
I hate you.
But we also play Fortnite.
Fortnite's better. I mean, yeah, but they're both battle royales, and they're
I go to
the two biggest ones.
I go to Player Unknown's Battlegrounds PUBG for something different than when I go to Fortnite. They are both Battle Royale games.
I think at this point, I would just take Fortnite over PUBG.
I would take Fortnite over PUBG, but also, if I was looking, say, all right, man, let's get together, let's play a deliberate game where we team up, try to survive as long, like, when I think of Fortnite, I don't think of surviving as long as possible. I think of manic, crazy, we're building stuff, we're finding things, or we play against PvE and we're just killing zombies, PlayerUnknown's Battleground is more realistic.
Tactical.
It controls way worse. It runs way worse.
The rubber banding in that game is, to this day, like, how do you not have that under control yet?
I'm with you.
It's weird. But no, I like both of those games. But I really am drawn to aesthetic in games, especially, like, a lot of the time I want something that's just more colorful and bright. Like, I don't really... Especially after, like, a long day of, like, work or something. Like, I don't really want to go to, like, a dreary, drab experience the way that PUBG is.
So, PUBG has a realistic military aesthetic.
Absolutely.
That is less appealing and cinematic than, like, the Call of Duty and Medal of Honor games from the GameCube and Xbox and PS2.
Yeah. Because those were super drab, like, and dark. They were just lit really... Those games weren't lit very well, if I remember right. Because,
I mean, they were working with, you know, small processors and everything. But even you go back and you look at Call of Duty 2 on the Xbox 360, that game is gorgeous compared to PUBG.
Oh, yeah. And we know that game like the back of our hands since we played it for so long.
Call of Duty 4 is just...
Yeah. Which, that's one that I'm playing right now, is the Call of Duty 4 Remastered that comes with the Xbox One version of Infinite Warfare. And they did a great job remastering that game, and that game is still just as fun as ever. Like, I adore that game. The shooting is so tight and so perfect. Like, it just... God, that game is so, so good. To this day, I love it.
Speaking of co-op shooters, Destiny 2 had DLC come out this year.
It did.
Not memorable. Hopefully the DLC that's coming out in a couple of months is more memorable.
Which is like the, whatever, what is it, year 4? Is it year 4 now? Year 5?
It's 4. It's gotta be 4.
2013? Year 5. Well, whatever. I don't know. It's the big revamp for Destiny 2, the way... Taken King was for Destiny 1, right? Was it Taken King?
Yes.
Cool.
It's sort of the big update, not the minor DLCs that we've gotten so far, which we've played and then played for like 4 hours and then not played again.
They're not that memorable at all.
Destiny 2 has not put its hooks in me the way that Destiny has, and I can't really figure out why, because the improvements that they made to Destiny 2 are improvements that I enjoy. I can't put my finger on it, though.
I think, man, it's just...
It might be there's other games.
It's just we've almost been playing essentially the same game for 5 years.
That's a good point.
And, I mean, you hear about how, like, subscriber rates with things like... even, like, the biggest MMOs in the world, like World of Warcraft and things like that, they go up and down, up and down, up and down, because it's like... There's so much content and so many games to play these days. It's like, I can't spend all my hours, all my free time playing the exact same game I was playing when I was 23. Like, yeah.
It's true. I get you. Hopefully that DLC changes that. One last co-op game. Well, there's two more that we need to talk about. Monster Hunter World came out this year.
Yeah, I wish that had come out. I wish that had come out now when both of us have more free time, because I really like that game, but there's just so much intricate stuff, and like with those systems and...
It's Monster Hunter.
It's just, it's really tough to get into if you don't have like a bunch of time on your hands to really sit down and learn how everything goes together and how the food system works and how your Palico system works, which is basically just your cat companion. But it's just, it's a lot, and it's really well made. It's great. It's very really fun. Hard too.
There's a lot of UI problems with that game, and a lot of.
It depends on your definition of problems. Like, you just don't like the fact that there's an insane UI. Like, I don't think there are inherently problems.
Putting us into the same mission.
Oh, that, yes. Oh my god, that is so hard. It's like, it took us 15 minutes to figure out how to get into a mission together the first time. It makes no sense.
Whatever. Monster Hunter's cool. Mm-hmm. I will be interested in more Monster Hunter games in the future. We have been playing over the last couple weeks State of Decay 2, which is a game you should only play co-op.
Yeah, another game that's like silly but super fun, and it's glitchy because that's Undead Labs' MO, apparently. It's like they kind of make glitchy games. I mean, considering this is only their second game, first being State of Decay, but it's really well made for the most part. It's not that great to look at. It's another drab, kind of dreary experience, but it's a post-apocalyptic zombie world. So.
That's what it needs to do.
Yeah, but that game is really fun to play co-op. I want to play more of that.
I only have two more games on my list here. I have Mario Tennis Aces.
Fuck that game, dude. I'm sorry. I don't like that game. I think it's absurdly difficult. And not in a fun, challenging way. Like, I don't like that game. I think the adventure mode is terrible. The difficulties, talk about another thing that's just the difficulty spike is absurd. I think it's more of a fighting game than a tennis game. And I think at this point, I wanted a tennis game more than I wanted a fighting game. I have plenty of fighting games to play. I don't really want that in my Mario Tennis.
And I played under an hour. I got it to play co-op with Katie because I'm looking for more co-op games to play with Katie. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one to play that. Yeah.
I know there's a tournament mode. I was wondering if you could set it up in a way that would take away all the gimmicky stuff and just give you a straight up tournament and you get a set the way the computer works and stuff like that.
You can do that with exhibition quick matches, but not with the actual cups.
Okay.
You have to go through the cups the way the game is meant for you to play it. But like quick matches, you can set it up where you can get rid of all of the gimmicky stuff.
Yeah, that's the way that I would play it then, I suppose.
I want all the cups. I've got two of the three cups and they were much tougher than I was expecting to get. But I wanted to like the adventure mode because it's something that I want to complete in a game like that, but you just get to a point and it's so unfairly difficult that it's just not even worth playing.
So before I get into my big games thing that we're going to end on, I have played, obviously, because I'm a sports person and a game person, a lot more of FIFA 18 and NBA 2K18.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put my foot in the ground this year. As someone who has played the NBA 2K series for 15 years, depending on how the review scores come out, this might be the year that I jump to NBA Live.
It's funny, because I wanted to talk to you about that, because I was kind of thinking the same thing.
Because I'm sick of the free-to-play bull that is just rampant in the 2K series.
I'm sick of a lot of things in 2K.
And the server issues, always having to be online. Like, FIFA 18 also has Ultimate Team is huge. They get a ton of money through Ultimate Team. That does not mean that FIFA is always online. If I want to play manager mode and save my credits, I can do that.
And they don't make progressing in something like a manager mode and like getting results, they don't make that
all tied in to your currency.
And if not tied in, they don't make it like absurdly time consuming to progress if you're not using, because if unless you're buying VC, which is the currency in NBA 2K to like bump up your My Player, it takes forever to get anywhere.
Yep.
Like it took, I think I've probably I think I played an entire season without, like, spending any real money on VC with my player before I even got him up to, like, a 75. That's like me playing literally 82 games. And that's insane. Like, it just shouldn't... It shouldn't take that long. And I know they only make progression that difficult because they want you to be spending real money. And that sucks.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's really... That just... I find that disrespectful as a gamer. Like, I just think that's really shitty.
I don't know why Visual Concepts has done this.
I mean,
it's gotten worse and worse and worse.
I mean, they only do it because of money. That's the only reason they do it. But it's just really crappy. And
but here's my point, is that 2K is such a heavyweight in the gaming industry. It's, outside of FIFA, the most popular sports game.
Yeah. The most popular sports game if you're just counting America. I mean, it's the first with a freaking partnership, like professional league partnered with the actual sports league. It's replicating. It's like they've got NBA 2K League.
Right.
They've got a FIFA Global Series, but it's not technically partnered with FIFA, I don't think.
So I'm going to look at sales for last year. In the last calendar year? Yearly. How do I do this? I'm trying to see which sports games have sold the most. In US and Europe. Global chart? Should we go with a yearly? Yeah, in the U.S., that can't be right. 2K only sold 1.5 million copies.
I don't know what you're looking at, but that's not correct.
Cannot possibly be right.
That's not even close to being right. Just look 2K18 sales. Yeah, this from February, 2K18 breaks sales and revenue records for the series. 2K17, 8 million shipped but not sold. Take Two announced NBA 2K18 as nearing 8 million sales, 25% increase from 2K17.
So,
and that was in February.
In 2017 alone, FIFA 18 shipped 10 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's FIFA and then 2K and then Madden's next, but Madden is falling in popularity as football falls. But as I was saying, each year, NBA Live gets better and better in quality back to the EA standard, since they've built the whole engine and game series from the ground up after some years of turbulence.
Ooh, yeah.
But the more and more that game gets playable, the more tempting it is for me to just get away from 2K, get myself out cut and dry.
Plus, they're willing to go the extra mile and appease WNBA fans, too. They've got the WNBA in there now, and as someone who's covering the league this year, that's, like, super cool to see. And I haven't heard anything that says they're not bringing that back in Live 19.
Assuming it will.
People were super stoked about it when it was announced last year, so I would be surprised if it went anywhere.
And I know that my son, Joel Embiid, is the cover player for NBA Live 19. They have some new things coming in. I'm looking at the website right now. We'll see how it goes. Anyways, if you have any more video games you want to talk about before I jump into my last thing here.
I mean, I played a lot of NHL 18. That series is still great. Plays well. It's beautiful. Nothing really I need to delve into there. That's really it. I mean, we played a lot of the same things this year.
On my iPhone, before I jump into my last thing that I want to talk about, but on my iPhone, I played Game Dev Tycoon, which is really addicting until I beat it twice. Played Tetris and Drop 7. I played Dice Soccer City for a while, but it has too much free-to-play stuff in it.
I don't even know what that is.
It is like a dice game, but it's based around soccer.
I guess I could have gathered that from the title, but
I played a bunch of the Marvel free-to-play games, and they're all free-to-play, so...
I played the Power Rangers fighting game, which was kind of cool, but that's pretty free-to-play-y, too. But it was cool because the promo they had when they released it initially was that you got one of the Street Fighter characters after you unlocked enough stuff. So, like, I got to get Ryu, and he was able to fight Power Rangers. So that was pretty cool. Two series I love coming together in one. Like, it's a really fun game. It's just...
Puzzle Fighter.
Oh.
And that's a game that's gone now.
Yeah.
Puzzle Fighter was really cool. It's just Puyo Puyo, but with Street Fighter characters. Yeah. And now it's gone from the iOS store, so don't worry about it.
That sucks.
To end the games discussion that I can only imagine you guys are ready to hear the end of, I have been playing Fallout 4.
Oh, wait. Buddy, we skipped, like, our game of the year so far. We didn't talk about God of War. That's what I thought you were going to jump into. I didn't even think you were going to talk about Fallout yet.
Yes.
We got to talk about God of War, dude.
God of War is best game of 2018 so far.
Yeah, and it's not really close. No. Like, it's not close at all. That game is a masterpiece. And I don't throw that around lightly. Like, that game is an absolute masterpiece. Oh, my God.
It plays nearly perfectly. It looks amazing. The story beats hit hard. I am not a person who played any of the God of War games.
All of those other God of War games can just
I tried playing bow down to this one. This year.
Yeah, you didn't like it.
I have no interest in it.
I beat 3 Remastered a couple years ago, and it's super fun. I like that game, but it's more my speed than yours, but it doesn't compare anywhere close to this current God of War.
Well, people talk with such reverence about the God of War series. I would rather play a Devil May Cry game or even Bayonetta after picking that up.
Yeah.
They're just more fun. I don't need QuickTime events.
Right.
And that's the original God of War games, is QuickTime events.
Yeah, and also a main character that you couldn't give two shits about. I mean, Kratos in those first 3 games, plus whatever, Chains of Olympus and stuff like that, is just, he's awful. Like, there's nothing redeeming. Dude. There's nothing redeeming about him. There's nothing that, like, makes you root for him at all. But this God of War...
You can tell he's a character created by David Jaffe, who is a dude who was working on games pre-story being important.
Well, Jaffe's big claim to fame besides that is freaking Twisted Metal, which...
That's my point.
Exactly, yeah.
He's a gameplay guy, not a...
And he's good at what he does, but he's never been, like, a story dude.
But I cannot talk more highly. I don't even know what to say.
I don't really want to say anything because it's new enough where I don't even really want to spoil because there's so much that happens in that game. I don't know anyone who shouldn't play that game. Like...
It's tough, but...
You can turn the difficulty down. Like, your brother's playing it right now.
No, he's not. My cousin's playing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. I was looking at the chat the other day, our group chat the other day, and for some reason I thought it was your brother who was saying that he was playing it. But Nick's playing it. Cool.
That game's great. Everyone should play that game.
Yeah, if you're a fan of, like, great narrative-driven games, that is certainly one of them. And it's got one of the best introductory boss fights I've ever seen in the game. Yeah. It's very cool. That's one of my favorite fights in a long time. Yeah. I like that fight better than the ending fight.
Yeah, the ending fight feels... It pales in comparison to the first fight. Definitely. But that's also because...
And that's fine.
You're just getting into the game, and it's just like, hey, this is what this game's about.
It's so great. Like,
it's great. But anyways, I was talking about Fallout 4 because cool. This is a more... I think interesting story for myself to tell. Everyone loves God of War. You need to play God of War. If you have a PlayStation and you don't own God of War,
buy it. Just buy it.
Or I'll send it to you. I'm letting Nick borrow my copy because I just wanted to play it.
Yeah, so I will send my copy to someone if they want to play it that badly because I want everyone to experience that game.
So Fallout 4. I wouldn't have even... I bought it the day it came out for PlayStation 4 back in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And played 20, 25, 30 hours of it. Gave up on it because, you know, Bethesda's not really my thing. I don't enjoy the Elder Scrolls series at all, which I know is heresy.
It's fine. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. I tried playing
Fallout 3 three different times. Didn't get into it. Never tried New Vegas.
Oh, New Vegas. I actually like New Vegas better than 3, which is absolute heresy in the gaming world. But
Bethesda. Anyways. So, at E3, Microsoft announced that Fallout 4 was coming to Game Pass, which I had recently purchased during their sale.
Game Pass is cool.
So I downloaded Fallout 4, and I started looking into the modding scene, because there were things about the original Fallout 4 that frustrated me, like frame rate dropping, and poor first-person shooter mechanics. The dialogue system is not great. There are a lot of things that could be fixed.
Inventory management sucks. You can't carry very much, no matter how far you progress with your character in that game.
So I looked into the modding scene and sort of made it a dedicated first-person shooter. I don't use the VAT system, which makes it more like an RPG. I added some, like, quality-of-life mods to make it more user-friendly.
Mm.
Like, completely rehauling the UI. Completely rehauling the way that the storage system works, both at settlements and in your Pip-Boy. Making it so the scopes, there are see-through scopes in the game, so that when you're using a scope, you don't have to load into the scope and load back out. Making it like a first-person shooter. When you're running around and you have a gun and you're not shooting it, now my character will rest his gun down instead of pointing it at someone all the time, which you would never do because your arms would get tired. Adding quick trade to all of the vendors so I don't have to talk to the vendor and then trade with them. Just pressing X to trade without loading into the talking. There's a lot.
And then I did a lot of the same stuff. There's things about that game in its original state that I like that I didn't go as far with the modding thing. Like, I love VATs. I keep VATs in my game. A few other things, but yeah, there's that, especially that quality of life stuff. It just makes the game so much better.
Yeah,
and prettier. Like, I was remarking at, we were both playing it here last night, and I was just remarking at how nice your version of it looks, because you drop down the quality from the 4K assets to just run 1080, so it runs smoother, the textures are better, your map on your Pip-Boy is gorgeous now, because it's, like, full color. Like, right, everything about the UI and inventory system just looks really nice now.
I added immersive face animations to make them seem less robot. They're running the Skyrim,
engine?
Engine, thank you. They're running the Skyrim engine, so all the facial animations you've seen for years, they don't look great.
No.
So I changed that. There are some other things I wish I could change. I've really liked, one of my favorite things is changing it so I can have multiple companions, so I can have a party instead of just one person with me everywhere I go. To feel more like, this is a game where I can min-max. This is how I want this person. This person's going to have a shotgun and a high armor. This person's going to have a sniper. All these things to make it just feel better. I don't know. I'm having a lot more fun with it. Obviously, it's a game that still breaks a lot.
Yeah, as you saw with mine last night.
Well, I had to, like, cheat terminal my way through a broken quest yesterday.
That was really funny.
But the 4K patch, and I've been reading up on this stuff so I can speak to this for the Xbox One X, makes the game look gorgeous. Don't get me wrong. It looks amazing. It's the best-looking Bethesda game I've ever seen. But the frame rate is so garbage. The modding community took to it to scale. I scaled down all the textures from 4K to 1K.
Mm-hmm.
And then also dropped in how far away from where you are the textures will start to load in, just to make the frame rate runnable in, like, Boston and places like that.
Yeah.
And the game still looks pretty amazing. There, I can tell a lot that I've made some of the textures smaller, but the price to pay is easy for me, just to make the game run well. I would much rather have a solid frame rate than worry about, oh, where are the trees loading in from?
Yeah.
If I can see the trees popping in, that's a less of an issue as long as my game isn't chugging, is my point. So I'm really glad I've picked that up. I'm not sure how far I'll go into the game. I do have all the DLC, so I want to play through at least all the main story stuff.
It's actually been enjoyable that you got into it, because it's gotten me back into that game. Because, you know, I put in probably an 80-hour playthrough when it first came out, and I completed everything, all the story. I never did any of the DLC, though, because I just kind of burnt myself out on it. But now that I've got it via Game Pass, and I've done some of the mods and stuff to make it an even more enjoyable experience for me, like, I'm glad that I picked it back up. And it's definitely one that I'll end up playing all the way through again, now that I've got it to a point where I like, and hopefully it doesn't crash on me like it did when we were playing last night.
So that's our first 6 months of video games.
That's games.
That took a while, didn't it?
That was an hour. This is going to be a two-parter.
It's
going to have to be. One, because we're probably not going to get through everything before we have to leave for this movie we're going to see tonight, since it's already 5 o'clock.
That's all right.
All right. Well, let's try to cover a shorter category than before we break for this first half. We definitely shouldn't do movies.
No, that should be the
That's
second
big part. A bad idea.
What TV have you enjoyed this year?
Yeah, TV's probably a good one to do, especially because I don't feel like I've talked to you a lot about the recent TV you've been watching. You haven't really been doing a lot of that. You've been watching old stuff with Katie.
Yeah, the new stuff that I've kept up with this year, I think there's only one show that I am actually current on, and that is Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, and you caught up after the almost cancellation,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess the cancellation and revival. But yeah, that continues to be a great show. Mm-hmm. Fox is stupid. Like, but what else is new?
I mean, for myself, I've just been watching, when I do watch TV, I'm usually watching it with Katie. So I caught episodes of Friends.
That Your show favorite
is
show.
Still not good. Don't talk to me about it, please. I don't like Friends.
Katie and I have bonded in our friendship over Friends, because we both adore that show, even though we both understand how bad it actually is.
But people love it.
Yeah.
People love Friends. Over the past 6 months, I've watched episodes of Psych. I've watched some MASH. I've watched Blackish. I watched a lot of
Blackish.
Blackish,
hell yeah. Blackish is my show.
The first two seasons of Blackish, and I love that show.
That show is phenomenal.
Doctor Who, Bob's Burgers, rewatched all Happy Endings. I catch the SNL sketch the ones that I enjoy from time to time, the ones that are really popular.
You watched the whole one episode of something that I know we both watched, speaking of SNL, was the wonderful Donald Glover Childish Gambino
yes.
episode of Saturday Night Live, which was by far the best episode of that show I've seen this decade.
It's been a while.
He's just so talented that it just. Pretty much everything in that episode worked. Like, the Migos spoof that they did called
yes.
Friendos was hysterical. I mean, that episode was
the
great.
The non-aired LeBron.
Cavs thing, that was very funny. That was very good, too.
I watched old episodes of New Girl. We just recently started Chuck from the beginning.
Yeah, you told me that you had other day.
I've seen the first season of Chuck a couple times, but I wanted to eventually at some point watch all of it. And I thought it was a cute enough show that Katie would enjoy it as well. And she
yeah, I'm actually
like
surprised you haven't watched it with her before. That's one I would have assumed you watched all the way through with her at least once.
I watched all 100 and however many episodes of Dragon Ball Z Kai,
mm-hmm.
which has been a fun run down memory lane for me. Growing up, I was a big Dragon Ball Z kid, but doodling, sketch Goku and all the Trunks was my favorite way back when, but. I mean, I watched all 167 episodes of that, and I'm now into Dragon Ball Super. I'm like 30 episodes into Dragon Ball Super. It's Dragon Ball Super is fine. The animation quality is not as high. It wavers. But it's a comedy. It's anime. If you like anime, you probably enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I am not caught up on New Girl, but I watched some of those episodes. You know, I don't watch as much TV as I did when I was younger. I don't have the time, I guess.
Dude, I watch everything.
Well, you work from
home. I work from home, so, I mean, I've caught...
Oh, wait, the starters. I watch the starters every day. There you go.
There you go.
NBA TV, what up?
Yeah, I am completely the opposite. I watch everything new. One of my favorite shows that I caught this year that's it's unfortunate that Netflix decided to cancel it after one season was Everything Sucks, which was a super good kind of like teenage outcast comedy drama in the vein of Freaks and Geeks. It's set in the early 90s in a town called Boring, Oregon. Yeah, it's about these two groups of sort of social outcasts, this like kind of nerdy group of freshman kids who's led by a kid who's very into the AV club scene, who happens to be half black. He's mixed. He's got a white dad and a black mom, which is super cool for me because I don't see that very often in mainstream media. So that drew me in right away. But basically, it's about these group of freshmen who team up with these group of like junior and senior drama kids to make a sci-fi movie. And it's about that. It's about like the romances interspersed between the two groups. It's about just like all typical high school stuff, coming of age type of things. And it was really good and really endearing and really sweet and like super sad at times. And it was just like, it was everything I wanted in a show. And it was full of minority characters, which was great. And of course, it gets canceled.
But hey, Netflix is only spending $13 billion on original content next year.
Yeah, they couldn't have kept that show. Which, like, when you look at it, you're like, that couldn't have cost very much money to make. Because it's all no-name. I hate that term for it. But it's all, like, up-and-coming young actors who aren't getting paid probably what they really should be getting paid. Like, that show was cheap to make. There's no doubt about it. That show was cheap to make. And them getting rid of it sucks. The other, like, coming-of-age sort of show that I watched was another one on Netflix, which was super good, and it is coming back. It's called On My Block. It's about a bunch of Latino kids in a, you know, Latino neighborhood in Los Angeles. And that show is great and has a lot of like super powerful moments, and that show is awesome. I watched the whole season in one day and like immediately went on social media and was like, everybody watch this, please, because this is the kind of stuff we need on television. This is the kind of stuff the generation under us needs to grow up watching on television, because it's super good and it's just, we need more of that kind of stuff. So I dig it. And anything related, anything that's focused on minorities, I'm going to care about, because television needs to stop being so whitewashed. And luckily, we've got things like this coming out on platforms that weren't available 10 years ago. So that's super cool. I watched American Gods Season 1, which was awesome. That show is great. The cast is fantastic.
I read that
book. As someone who didn't really get into the book that much, I thought the show was just so well done, especially the parts that they do in the show that I didn't actually like in the book, which was the coming to America flashback type stuff that sort of like was interspersed between the main story. I remember talking about this when we were doing the show last year when I was reading the book. I'm like, it took me out of it every chapter that started with one of those little intercut stories. Like, it just never resonated with me, and it got to the point where I just didn't want to finish the book. Well, the way they do it in the show is so great and so well done, and it involves awesome, awesome characters. Like, Orlando Jones plays a character.
Orlando Jones, producer of the Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Yes.
30-minute short.
Yeah, he plays this god known simply as Mr. Nancy, and
good character.
The episode with him when he's first revealed opens with him on a slave ship and all of these slaves are being brought over from Africa. And he basically does this whole monologue that's like, and he's talking to all of them, but he's essentially targeting this one soon to be slave who is the only one really questioning what's going on, like what the hell is happening to them right now.
Right.
And he basically is like, listen, you can sit here and become what the future holds for you, or you can heed what I have to say and rise up and fight. And it cuts away at one point from from inside the ship to the outside of the ship. And you just see, like, you just hear, like, fighting and, like, a bunch of yelling, and, like, all of a sudden the ship's on fire. It's, like, it's a super awesome sequence that opens the episode. And I'm like, man, I just never felt like any of those sequences were that powerful in book
form. There are a couple that really hit me that way while reading the book. I talked to my cousin I talked to him a couple days ago about this. We were talking about how American Gods was a struggle to get through and finish. As soon as you were done with it, you're kind of like, oh man, I'm really glad I read that book. That was a good book, but it's a slog to get through. If I was going to reread it, I'm kind of wondering if it would be better to read all of the excerpts that reflect back before reading the main text of the book. I know that a bunch of them are inserted where they're inserted to have weight in the story that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But since I've already read the book, I wonder if it would flow better if it's like, hey, here are all of the things that happened before the main story of American Gods. And it would give me the context that I need to just breeze through the actual main story without having to, all right, here we go. Here are all these pages about this happening. All right, now we're back to the main story. Oh, but wait. No, here's another cutback. And it's just stuff like that.
And I think they did it a smart way with the show, which is all of those open the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then so after, you know, I think the longest one is like 9 minutes long. So after those first 8-9 minutes, you're into the main story for the rest of the like 55-minute episode. And I think that was the smart way for them to do it from a television standpoint. And I think it just works really well. I hate that that show's not coming back till 2019, because I loved the first season. The first season ended on such a cool moment. I can't wait for season two.
Maybe it'll get a bigger audience, because, like, no one watched that show.
Well, it's tough having shows on Stars, man, because a lot of people don't have Stars. It's premium cable, and it's not the channel you think of if you're going to spend $10 to $15 a month on premium cable channel.
Don't get me wrong.
But, you know, having Amazon the way that we do, like, I just went ahead and bit the bullet and got it. Like, I got it for a month so that I could watch American Gods, and then I watched a bunch of Power, which is a super good show, too.
Power has, like, clout. That show actually gets viewers.
That show's great, man. I kind of, like, turned my nose up at that show when I first saw it, because it kind of looked like it was going to be super cheesy,
mm-hmm.
and it turned out to not be. Like, it's very, very good. 50 Cent put himself in it because he produces that show, and that's kind of like, eh. I feel like you could have found a way better actor for a character that ends up being extremely important in that show.
I don't think Curtis can act.
Curtis 50 Cent Jackson? It's one of those things where, like, in the first season, he's in, like, 2 or 3 episodes. Like, he's just a sort of like a secondary character, and you're like, okay, I can respect that he gave himself a little bit of a part. And then the season two begins, and like from then on he's like an extremely pivotal character in the show, and it's just like, I don't really need this much 50 Cent on my television screen right now. But other than that, I think the show's great. Barry I watched this year, which I think is Bill Hader's best role ever. Like, I'm such a huge Bill Hader fan to begin with, but it's one of those situations where you finally get to see him show off like some of his dramatic chops while still also being hysterical. Like, and you know, they say like comedic actors are a lot of times the best actors because dramas comes really easy for them, because it's dramatic acting isn't nearly as difficult as comedic acting for a lot of them. And it shows, like, he blows that part out of the water. Like, he is so good. That's another show I just watched in one day, because it's only 8 episodes.
Right.
And once you get going on it, it's really hard to stop. I adore that show. I can't wait for season two of that. I finally got around to watching Big Little Lies, which I freaking hated. I don't like that show even remotely. It's funny, the most interesting characters on that show are actually the kids of the main characters. Like, some of them are, like, super interesting and end up being a big part of the overarching story. I think as a whole, that show just didn't work. The acting's great. Adam Scott's really good. Bearded Adam Scott, which you don't see every day. Reese Witherspoon is fantastic. But it's all leading up to this one event, which you know is coming. But it's just, like, it's all leading up to the murder of Alexander Skarsgård. Spoilers, I guess. But I feel like everybody who's wanted to watch that show has watched it by now. I kept forgetting it was a book. Katie told me it was a book.
She
I honestly
read the book
didn't
and watch the show.
Yeah.
And my parents read the book and watched the show.
It all leads up to his murder, but it's like not a murder because it's essentially self-defense because he's like beating on his wife in public. And
which one's his wife? Nicole Kidman?
Yes. Yeah. He's beating on her in public and, Zoe Kravitz's character, like, sees it, and she's, like, not having any of it, and ends up pushing him down the stairs. And now it's, like, this big kept secret, but it's, like, it was literal self-defense. She was witnessing a man abuse his wife in front of her. Like, I don't know, it just doesn't work. And for seven hours of television to lead up to that, I was just like, really? And now I don't know what they're gonna do with season two, but I guess that's a thing. So I don't know.
Man, it's written by David E. Kelly. What do you expect?
I don't know, dude. I was just that show was hyped up for so long for me that when I finally got around to watching it, I was just super disappointed in it.
It is what it is, though. Hyped up for so long, it won 8 Emmys.
I know. I'm just
right. So like, I
expected more. I guess.
I don't have a lot of good feelings for a lot of that cast, so I'll never watch it.
Reese has taken this turn in her career where she's just become a completely different type of actress, and she's so good. Like, she's really good in that show. She was great, and Wild was the first thing I remember watching a few years ago being like, whoa, this is a different type of thing for Reese, and she does a great job.
I don't know what season two is going to be. If anyone's interested, Meryl Streep is playing Alexander Skarsgård's mom.
That's right.
So that'll be interesting, I guess.
I forgot about that.
Super into that show. I can't watch that show because watching both Zoe Kravitz and Shailene Woodley makes me want to vomit because they're both terrible actresses. Sorry.
I don't have anything against Zoe Kravitz's acting, but Shailene Woodley is... I mean, you could probably put a cardboard cutout of Shailene Woodley in a scene, and I wouldn't notice the difference. That's how stiff of an actress she is.
I'm sure they're both lovely people, but I just can't watch
them. I don't have anything against them as people. I'm just saying she's an awful actor. And, like, I've never... You know what's funny? Every time I bring up Shailene Woodley to someone, even people who aren't, like, super into, like, performances of someone in a show or a program or something like that, everyone's like, oh, God, she's terrible. I was talking to my mom about it the other day, and... Because she watched it a few months ago.
She's getting work.
And my mom's like, God, Shailene Woodley is terrible. Like, she is awful.
She gets a lot of work.
She gets a lot of work.
She's supposed to be really nice.
I believe it. She seems like she'd probably be very nice, but just because you're nice doesn't mean you're a great actor, so.
I'm with you.
I don't know, man. I could talk about television that you haven't watched for forever because I watched a lot of it. Jessica Jones season 2 was really good. 1,000 times better than season 1, I think.
Why? Because they don't keep catching the purple man and then letting him go and then catching him and letting him go and then catching him and letting him go?
That's part of it, yeah.
That helps.
That was good. I'm partway through Luke Cage season 2, which it's difficult, man, because I need that show to be on television because of what it stands for and some of the like things it has to say about black culture in the United States. Like, there's a lot of great moments of that, but the story as a whole just, and I had problems with season 1 in that regard too, but it just doesn't feel like it needs to be 13 episodes long each time.
That's how a lot of the MCU shows feel.
like how Luke Cage basically went from one villain to another in season one, like after Mahershala Ali's character gets killed off, it should have just ended there. But then they do a whole nother six episodes with Luke Cage's brother, and those last six episodes don't really work for me.
As we currently, or not currently, but recently mentioned in season one of Jessica Jones, they catch the purple man and let him go, then catch him and let him go.
And catch him and let, yeah.
So, yeah. And, I mean, at the first season of Daredevil feels like it goes on forever. And then the second season does better because there are more characters, but it also is too long. Like, yeah. Adding the Punisher and Elektra made the show better, but it still did not need to be that many episodes.
The Punisher was my jam, though. I liked that from start to finish. I thought that was very good.
But yeah, I don't. That's a MCU problem, I guess.
Show-wise. Yeah. I mean, they've found a formula they're clearly okay with sticking with for the time being, and it's not like it. I mean, they're still making the shows, so they're clearly working. So. But yeah, I like Luke Cage season two so far. It's just there's certain things about it that don't work, but having a black-led show in the MCU is super important to me, so I'm very glad it exists.
Cool.
I think I hit on the big ones. Like I said, I've watched so much I could go on. Like I watched some of The Americans, which
is a good show.
It's a good show. It's just hard for me to go on a tear of watching that show because it's really slow at times, but it's very good. I got through all of season one and I'm halfway through season two and I really dig it. I'm glad Margot Martindale is a bit character in it because she's wonderful. I think that's really it. Cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I could think of more things, but it's not really anything that's necessary to talk about.
We got some more time before I want to cut this off. Go over some books. I've been doing some, since on my drive to work and back is 30 minutes, I did a lot of audio booking. Specifically, there's a Marvel Comics The Untold Story audiobook version I listened to. It was really interesting to hear the origins and the entire history of Marvel Comics, essentially. If you're in any way a comics fan, if you're a superhero fan, if you want to read it, if you want to listen to it, I recommend it. It's interesting to hear the story of that company and all the turbulent times it went through and how Stan Lee gets credit for creating all of these characters but didn't really create the characters, but maybe he created the characters, I don't know. Intellectual property is weird, and I don't know how litigating him for that would be.
I don't know.
I also, piggybacking on that, listened to Slugfest, which is a book about the rivalry between DC and Marvel Comics since their inevitable rise,
mm-hmm.
and how Marvel is currently kicking their butt as in terms of film, at least. They're kind of on equal playing ground when it comes to comics. Marvel sells more comics per month, but they also put out more comics per month, so that's debatable. They're kind of on equal footing as far as that goes. And then I listened to Superheroes by Grant Morrison, which is a really weird book. It's sort of it's not called Superheroes, it's called Super Gods, I think. What's it called? Yeah, Super Gods, What Masked Vigilantes, Miraculous Mutants, and a Sun God from Smallville Can Teach Us About Being Human. So it's sort of like not a history, but a reflection on the most popular superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more about Grant Morrison, if you don't know anything about Grant Morrison, dude's a big comics writer, huge egoist. He is all about himself. and he tells the story of the comic industry as a reflection of his own upbringing. It's a really, I don't even know how to describe it. It's very, you learn a lot about Grant Morrison. You learn more about Grant Morrison than you do about the comics industry.
That sounds super self-indulgent.
It's really weird. It's like 70 years of comic book history, but in the form of an autobiography, if I had to.
Okay. I kind of want to read that just because it sounds like it would either be something I would love or absolutely hate.
There are parts that I was like, all right, I'm just going to skip over this because I don't care about Grant Morrison being in rehab for all of these things. I don't care about Grant Morrison learning what it's like to be a comic book writer in the 80s in London. I just don't care. I want to hear about his creative process while working on Arkham Asylum or when he's working on his version of the X-Men and stuff like that, or different histories about certain superheroes and whatnot. I don't care about his upbringing and stuff like that. I don't know, personally. Some of that stuff I'm sure is interesting to people who are huge Grant Morrison fans.
Sure.
It's a really interesting book. I read Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, which you gave me for my birthday or Christmas. I don't remember.
Your birthday.
Very cool.
Love that man, Jason Schreier.
Jason Schreier wrote a book about it's basically about the production cycle of video games. It's really well written, and he did a lot of work. He did a lot of research. If you are a video game person, if you are a person who likes to read about how art is made, no matter what type of art, it's very interesting. It is extremely revealing about some video games I've played.
Yep.
Dragon Age Inquisition.
Uncharted 4,
Destiny,
right?
Uncharted 4. Some games that never came out, like the Star Wars. What is it?
1313.
Stuff like that. It's just a very cool book. I really enjoyed reading it.
And it did really well. So well that they're doing a sequel. So that's really cool.
I'm almost done reading Bel Canto again, which is one of my favorite books. It's by Ann Patchett. Beautiful writing. And I'm listening to Disney War, which is about Michael Eisner's time at Disney.
And oh, yeah, cool.
It's just super interesting to hear behind the scenes of his fights with Jeffrey Katzenberg, who ended up founding DreamWorks, and, you know, just all the interesting, intricate stuff about Disney, who owns a lot of the intellectual property that I love. So that's just a fun book to read. It's
nice.
Big, it's long, it's thick, it's very in-depth, but it's worth it.
Cool.
So those are the books that I can talk about comics. I read the majority of DC and Marvel comics releases. I won't do that to you guys. I'm still enjoying Tom King's Batman, even after the huge spoiler that Catwoman and Batman did not get married. She left him at the altar at the wedding. I've been reading Tom King's Mr. Miracle limited series, which is great. I love Tom King. Tom King's my favorite comic book writer. The two other comics that I've been enjoying the most this year are X-Men Red, which is focusing on a revived Jean Grey. Sans Phoenix, she has been revived. The actual Jean Grey, not the one that they've been using over the past couple of years, who they made time travel from the 60s till now, which is, you know, comic book stuff. It's just interesting because I think Jean Grey is a really cool character. And seeing her try to run her own X-Men squad in the current day after being revived is really interesting. And then Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
Which is
where
just,
it's at. Continues to be amazing.
It is a unique comic. If you don't like comics, you might still like this book because it is unlike other comic books. Ryan North, who writes it, is hilarious. It's a very offbeat sort of book. Doreen Green is Squirrel Girl. She's like an empowering. She's a smart. She's a computer science major in college. It's just a quirky, funny book. I don't know how to describe it. You should read Squirrel Girl.
It's very good.
Even if you don't like comics, it's just funny to read. And that's kind of what I've been reading the past half year.
Comic-wise, I haven't been reading that much. I read Secret War, which you gave me for my birthday.
Secret War's cool.
Super good. Super, super good.
That's Secret War 2015.
Yes. Yeah.
From Marvel.
I'm super into the Lockjaw comic, which has been very good so far. It's Lockjaw's super early, super early on, but that's another one that, like Squirrel Girl, just like I really like just because it's got a very endearing main character, and it's a little more like tongue in cheek and funny and fun than a lot of Marvel's current run of stuff going on.
It's pretty interesting. The more I read Marvel, the more I find that I really just enjoy either their super dark comics or their super light comics. All the stuff that's
in between,
middle of the road. Like, I keep reading Spider-Man because I'm a Spider-Man fan, but it's not that memorable. Like, Lockjaw and Unbeatable Squirrel Girl are books that I will always read. Like, I really liked when they had the run of Hellcat.
Yeah.
Who, if you've watched the Jessica Jones series, is Trish Walker's Patsy Walker in the comics.
That was another, real quick, that was another thing that annoyed me about Jessica Jones season 2, is at the end of season 1, they set her up to be Hellcat, and then at the end of the season 2, they're still setting her up to be Hellcat. I'm like, God, come on.
Just do it.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's another one that was off-kilter, quirky, funny comic, and I'm sad it ended. Didn't sell very well, so I guess that's part of it. I'm sure Lockjaw isn't selling very well either.
Which sucks, because it's very well written. I mean, the most important book that I've read in the past few months is Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates.
I read that last year.
It's phenomenal. Yeah, we talked about it, we talked about it on the show last year because you had read it, so I won't go into it. But basically, it's a book written as a letter to Coates' teenage son. It's all about like feelings, symbolism, everything. Especially the realities associated with being black in our country. And it's super powerful. It's written by one of the most intelligent writers I think we have right now.
His article about Kanye
was great. That was a phenomenal read. I love Coates. He's a super important writer to me. Like, he's an inspiration. Like, I just, everything he's written I think is great. And yeah, I mean, and Between the World and Me is kind of his, I would call it his like, magnum opus, at least thus far. Like, if you can have that at his age, which he's not that old.
It could end up being his new run on Captain America.
Oh yeah, I forgot that was a thing.
Yeah, I have not read that issue yet.
I haven't either. I want to, though. Besides that, I'm kind of a boring reader, man. Like, I read the classics a lot. Like, I went back and read Fahrenheit 451 again right before the HBO movie with Michael B. Jordan came out, which was okay.
Okay. I've heard it was okay.
They did some cool things with the story and kind of adapting it for 2018. And not all of it worked, but, I mean, look, Michael B. Jordan's great. Man,
so
I'd watch him.
Shannon.
Yeah, and so was Michael Shannon. And I could watch the two of them go back and forth anytime. And Fahrenheit 451 is one of my favorite books, so I pretty much read it every single year. Same with Catcher in the Rye. I reread that. I have a really cool edition of that book that my dad gave me from, like, the early 1960s with this really cool, like, pretty plain, like, red cover. And, like, it's worn to all hell at this point because it's 50-something years old. But it's an edition of that book that I treasure, so I always read that. And I read Great Gatsby again just because that's another one of my top 10 favorite books of all time. Besides that, I don't read as much as I probably should, mostly because I stare at words all day for work anyway, and by the time it gets to 5 or 6 o'clock, I'm just like, I want to not look at words for a while.
Right.
But, yeah, so I stick to the classics and comics for the most part.
Cool. Well, that's going to be the end of part one for us.
Woo! What a wild ride.
6-month recap.
Yeah, so next week we'll get into part two, which will be
movies,
music.
Some other miscellaneous stuff.
Yeah, other miscellaneous stuff.
But, yeah.
Cool, man.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We are back, I'm assuming, for good this time.
I hope so.
we should be able to...
You don't have two jobs anymore.
We should be able to carve out more time.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool, man. See you next week.